creepers burst through laterite banks and spill across the flooded roads. Boats ply in the bazaars, and small fish appear in the puddles that fill the PWD potholes on the highways. It was raining when Rahel came back to Ayemenem. Slanting silver ropes slammed into loose earth, ploughing it up like gunfire. The old house on the hill wore its steep, gabled roof pulled over its ears like a low hat. The walls, streaked with moss, had grown soft and bulged a little with dampness that seeped up from the ground. The wild, overgrown garden was full of the whisper and scurry of small lives. In the undergrowth, a rat snake rubbed itself against a glistening stone. Hopeful yellow bullfrogs cruised the scummy pond for mates. A drenched mongoose flashed across the leaf-strewn driveway. The house itself looked empty. The doors and windows were locked, the front veranda bare, unfurnished. But the sky blue Plymouth with chrome tail fins was still parked outside. And inside, baby Kochema was still alive. She was Rahel's baby grandaunt, her grandfather's younger sister. Her name was really Navomi. Navomi Ipe. But everybody called her baby. She became baby Kochema when she was old enough to be an aunt. Rahel hadn't come to see her, though. Neither niece nor baby grandaunt laboured under any illusions on that account. Rahel had come to see her brother, Esther. They were two egg twins. Dizygotic, doctors called them. Born from separate, but simultaneously fertilised eggs. Esther, Estapen, was the older by 18 minutes. They never did look much like each other, Esther and Rahel. And even when they were thin-armed children, flat-chested, worm-ridden, and Elvis Presley puffed, there was none of the usual who is who and which is which from over-smiling relatives or the Syrian Orthodox bishops who frequently visited the Ayemenem house for donations. The confusion lay in a deeper, more secret place. In those early amorphous years when memory had only just begun, when life was full of beginnings and no ends, and everything was forever, Estapen and Rahel thought of themselves, together, as me, and separately, individually, as we, or us, as though they were a rare breed of Siamese twins, physically separate, but with joint identities. Now, these years later, Rahel has a memory of waking up one night, giggling at Esther's funny dream. She has other memories too that she has no right to have. She remembers, for instance, though she hadn't been there, what the orange drink, lemon drink man did to Esther in Abulash Talkies. She remembers the taste of the tomato sandwiches, Esther's sandwiches, that Esther ate on the Madras Mail to Madras. And these are only the small things. Anyway, now she thinks of Esther and Rahel as them, because separately, the two of them are no longer what they were, or ever thought they'd be. Ever. Their lives have a size and a shape now. Esther has his, and Rahel hers. Edges, borders, boundaries, brinks and limits have appeared like a team of trolls on their separate horizons. Short creatures with long shadows, patrolling the blurry end. Gentle half-moons have gathered under their eyes, and they are as old as Ammu was when she died. 31. Not old, not young, but a viable, diable age. They were nearly born on a bus, Esther and Rahel. The car in which Baba, their father, was taking Ammu, their mother, to hospital in Shillong to have them, broke down on the winding Tea Estate Road in Assam. They abandoned the car and flagged down a crowded state transport bus,